What's up, game hackers? This is Chris, and I am joined here with JP, and we are completely alone this week. What's up?
What's up?
We do have a special guest joining us later on. Goes by the name of Drew. He has a new project that he wants to describe to us. All right, so what do we got up first?
We have, what are we playing? Currently I'm playing Left 4 Dead. They just updated it with a new campaign and survival stuff, so it's pretty fun.
How's the new campaign?
It's not bad. It's sort of short. It's only like two sub-levels, I guess you want to call it.
I'll have to check it out sometime. I'll play with you. I'm currently playing a little Muramasa, some NHL 2K10, and some WiiWare stuff.
Sounds pretty good.
Have you checked out Muramasa yet?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty cool, kind of a Japanese-style game. You should really check it out. It's kind of like a ninja type thing. I don't really know how else to describe it. It's really cool.
Okay, you'll have to show me that later, I guess.
Yeah, I'll have to link you. What else we got?
What are we working on?
What are you working on, Maniac?
Actually, currently, I'm not working on anything. I've been sick the past few days and just really haven't felt up to anything. Especially with school and whatnot, I haven't had time.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that. We're both really sick, so if this sounds like crap, we apologize. I've been working on a little something. A few people know about it, but I don't want to announce anything quite yet.
Oh yeah, I remember you mentioning something about that. Hopefully everybody will enjoy it.
Yeah, you saw an early build. What do you think of it?
Well, it's not bad at all. I mean, definitely an improvement.
Well, that's the goal anyway. What is next?
Absence of the podcast last week.
Yeah, so it's not a true absence because we did record one, but it sounded like crap and it was really long. And I never got around to editing it, so you guys just didn't get to enjoy it last week. Sorry.
Lazy.
Completely laziness. I was sick, though. You know that.
yeah, I guess.
You feel my pain. What's next?
Next, we have the Wii firmware update to version 4.2.
Okay, did you hear about all that yet, or haven't caught up yet?
I haven't touched my Wii in a few months, so I really haven't upgraded. Actually, I think it's still on 3.2, legitly. But, I read a few things that it deletes homebrew and some other stuff. I didn't really bother.
Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it. It, completely deletes homebrew channel, DVDX, BootMe, all that stuff. But, Nintendo was dumb enough to just use the title ID, which homebrew developers can actually change, so it didn't really do much.
Oh, wow. You think they know some other way to do that or something?
It's funny because the old title ID for the homebrew channel was Hax, and now it's Jody after Nintendo of America's anti-piracy senior director, Jody Daughtry.
That's sort of creative.
Yeah, it's kind of like rubbing it in their face that they can't really do anything to stop them. So anyway, if you want to be safe and you haven't updated yet, I don't recommend doing it. Even though there are new versions of everything that you can still hook up, there is a new banner bomb out there, in case you did already update. So you can get everything back if you want to. Alright, so the safest thing to do, don't update. If you already did, you can use a new banner bomb, and you should be okay. So I guess we're already up to the interview for this week with Drew. What's going on, Drew?
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. So I hear you have a new project in development. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. We actually started a project called the Flux Project, which is going to be a open-based, almost similar to like a full bot mall access. What we're looking to set up is probably the most intricate form of bypassing systems such as GameGuard, Warden, and allowing for behavior trees in FSM system-controlled command-based bots. So you're looking at a bot that would be able to run around, do everything on its own. You get a message or anything like that, it'll be able to IM you on your own phone. You can be able to reply back to somebody who sends you a tell. As far as that, it'll move around, it'll kill. It'll do everything as if it was a regular player actually playing the character. And, well, I guess you can say all around bypass any security system that's going to be out. It's requiring a lot to get done, but once we have everything done, it will definitely be advantageous for anybody who's looking to hack any of these online MMOs and get into everything.
So what games would it work for specifically?
Well, our start-out project, as most everybody knows, which is Warden. It's the hardest system that we have to crack and is able to be cracked fairly easily. Few things needed to be done with it, but once that was figured out, now it's just more of just getting the software that we need to do it. So that way we can stay on the legit side of everything and not have somebody trying to cause issues for us. But it'll be available for Aeon, EverQuest, Darkfall. We're looking to put out a full active bot system for EverQuest 2. Pretty much almost every online game that's out right now that is an MMO will have the availability to have it up. We'll probably only sponsor and take care of the main systems such as Aeon, Darkfall, World of Warcraft, EverQuest 1, EverQuest 2. A few of the just, you know, the main core top MMOs that are actually a subscribe-based company. I guess we're looking to pretty much give it back to the big guy, you know, take away from the big guy.
I heard you mention World of Warcraft in there, and there already are a few different bots that are available out there. What would separate yours from those?
Well, there's a few things that separates ours. Ours has a system with a behavior tree, and it's not through a tripwire system. Okay? Normal tripwire systems that are out that everybody's using would just be a regular, they're emulating, I guess you could say, the processes. Well, processes can have, it goes by date, size, and, well, pretty much a warden process can change itself, add in a filler for the average size and everything, and then change it up on a uniformed search. Well, our searches will end up not only doing like an emulator basis, it'll also convert and check to an MD5 hash for that individual packet to make sure that that packet did not change, it didn't have a filler, it didn't have anything that would actually obfuscate and allow the warden to actually try to trick past any of the actual systems. A few other things that are available is our nav mesh system that we're looking at doing is more, it's going to be like a 2D to 2D, 2.5D nav mesh, so it'll check, you know, height variables and stuff like that. So you can't, you know, if you're going to be running to, let's say, farm a node or anything like that, you're not going to be running into trees. It's going to notice that, oh, this is an object that's there that I cannot run through. Let's go around it. Let's give a smooth path. So it's not some, you know, jerky, oh, well, I'm going to do a triangle around this tree type thing to get to where, from point A to point B. So it has its perks. I mean, a lot of everything that's getting done is been available, but the problem with it is most people and most companies don't want to implement it. They don't want to deal with the headaches. They don't want to have to fight with the code. They don't want to implement basis of like logic and theory. It causes, you know, everybody's looking out there to get in, get the big buck, get it as quickly as possible, smile about it, and then put out something else. Well, as you guys know with me, it's more of let's get in, let's put out a sound product. Let's get this product out, let's keep it safe, and keep it up for a long period of time. And that's what we're looking to be able to do for all the games that are out currently that we've mentioned, and games to come, actually.
Alright, so basically, the products out there right now are all tripwire-based, and it's really, it's not like a human's playing the game for you, and your product is going to be different than that.
That is correct. It's going to be more for the user, I guess you could say. It's out there under that basis of the user is able to come home from everyday life and set up his bot or her bot and go away. You know, come home, check that, hey, yeah, he mailed all this stuff over to this person, which could be your other character. Bank out their points because, well, it'll go and train the skills, but you got to choose on certain ones which ones you want to have done, you know, non-mandatory basis. And that's it. That is all you have to do for our systems. I mean, nothing that is overly hard at all. It's just meant for, I guess you could say, everybody to be able to get in, get the job done, and get out. You know, nobody wants to be sitting there playing a game for hours and hours on end. I mean, everybody wants to have a life. Some people know what it's like to have that girlfriend that always sits back, complains. Other people also know what it's like to, you know, have the girl that's always sitting there, or the wife complaining, or the husband complaining. Well, this gets rid of that complaint factor. You know, it moves it out of the whole entire scheme of everything, because it's like, hey, that's fine. I'll get on my game for 10 minutes today. We tested it out the other day, and we're just curious what it would do in a six-hour period of time on World of Warcraft. Took a character from level 31 all the way to 57 in a six-hour period of time. And, you know, it was like, okay, well, so every 3 days you could cycle out as many characters as your computer could hold. You know, it's up to people. I mean, there's tons of profit to be made in this. It's just who wants to implement doing so and so forth. And, you know, we're there to help everybody out and show them how to do things. It's just, well, people have to make the initiative to do it on their own also.
It sounds like a great product so far. Basically, they can still have their life and choose when they want to check up on their character and see all the stuff that they've done without actually being at the computer. That aspect is really exciting. What makes it so flexible to implement in so many different games? Like, what in your code makes it so easy to transfer between games?
Well, we specifically made it so that way we could actually just take, like, and have a renaming basis for the files, and our debug system will actually go through and say, okay, well, we renamed them, we have the new opcodes, and we have all the structures that will automatically implement themselves with the software that we created with our IDC files and everything. So it cuts down the factor of time. And while we were setting up everything, we had to plan for everything. Like, how long is it going to take for us to get a fix out? How long is it going to take for us to, you know, be able to catch an error? You know, what are we going to do if somebody DDoSes our servers? You know, all these things were implemented of, okay, well, what's really going to be the issue? How are we going to solve this issue? And where is it going to go from here? Well, then we had to sit back and say, okay, well, let's build up a system that we'll check this emulator server, and we'll check the MD5 hashes. If there's a change, it'll check to see what opcode. If that opcode had a change into it, now it'll go in, it'll pull the new structure, it'll pull the new opcode. It'll repack it up, it'll send it out, and it'll put it on all of our Apache servers that, well, we have it set up on geostatic Apache servers. So it'll actually allow somebody to download or receive that update to their computer, to the closest server that's to them. And these were all the things that, you know, we had to step in and say, okay, this is what we wanted to do. This is how we're going to do it. And this is, well, I guess that's pretty much how it worked. I mean, I couldn't complain about anything. It was more advantageous for us to do what we've been doing so far and moving forward. That it'll be nice once everything's finished. I mean, we're a couple programs, software programs away from being able to be 2 weeks out from release, and then the conversion will take anywhere between 1 to 2 weeks per game to be able to convert over everything. And then within probably the next 3 months, you should see us putting out everything. I mean, we got EverQuest pretty much taken care of. World of Warcraft is being finalized now. We just need to finish our program and get our two pieces of software. Then our next step's Aeon at full swing, so.
It sounds like a great product. I really can't wait to try it out for myself. I'm sure you'll hook me up with that afterwards, but thanks for stopping by. Thanks for describing your new product, and we'll definitely keep everybody updated on our site about it.
Awesome, bud. I appreciate it, and thank you for having me.
No problem, man. Nice to have you again.
Take care, guys.
All right, so that was informative. All you MMO players will definitely like that one. What do we got next, Maniac?
The Wire interview that I guess we're having in the future.
Right, so I mentioned this a couple weeks back. Mike Susick, I believe I'm saying that right, from TheWire.com, with two eyes, he wanted to do an interview, I guess, about the lighter side of hacking. And he recently contacted me again about that, and I thought I'd update everybody about it. So basically, he's been looking around, he's been asking people in the industry what they think about the lighter side of hacking. He's putting together a nice editorial, I guess, and he wants to do more of an audio-video interview instead of just writing something up text-based, and hopefully that'll be coming at you pretty soon.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good way to get our message across and to more people in the industry, really.
Yeah.
I see the next topic is how do we like our waffles? Just suggested to us a few minutes before we started recording them. So, JP, how do you like your waffles?
I have no clue, honestly. Just homemade, really.
I like mine with a little chocolate chip action going on. A little chocolate chip never hurt anybody.
I've actually never tried mine with chocolate chip. Might do that next time we go to Waffle House, I guess.
Hell yeah, man. Great place.
My football team actually used to go there like every Friday night after our games, so...
Alright, well next time you do, make sure you try out the chocolate chip, man.
Alright, I will.
So there you have it. JP likes his homemade, no chocolate chips yet. He hasn't tried it, and I like mine with some chocolate chips. So, bam, that's our reader question for the week. That'll about do it for us. We're trying to keep this one a little short so we can release it tonight, hopefully. Thanks for stopping by, everybody. See you later.
See ya.